Good to have all of you here in the house of the Lord on this Independence Day. See Al and Mary Washburn from South Dakota. And, of course, our very own Katie Herod now, Aaron, and Mike, their dad. It's good to see all of you here. And just the Waldens just walked in. Came to family reunion and had a little problem getting here, and got here yesterday, and I think they're leaving tomorrow. So kind of a fast trip for them, but good to see all of you. So good to see all of you. And then to have Brother and Sister Carter here, and their daughter and son-in-law is here with us, and we welcome the Carter family. And then some of the people from their church from Staten Island. Good to have you here. I'm pretty sure that Madison looks like sticks compared to, looks like you're way out in the country. but you know, I met Brother Carter years ago when I ministered in New York, the Metro District, and I've seen him a couple of times there since I originally met him. He's just an outstanding man. He was the secretary of their district. He's been at his church for 30 years. He's also been the superintendent of the district. Now, the Carters came here because Anna Sandin married their son Travis. Now, we've seen a lot of Travis around here. And had a great wedding yesterday, and we all survived it. And here we are, and we're thrilled for them. But we want Brother Carter to come and bring us the word of the Lord today. Would you give him a great big Madison welcome?
Take your liberty.
Thank you, my brother.
You may be seated. God bless you today. I was telling Pastor Grant that this church, as large as it is, makes everyone feel just so welcome and so friendly, and it's got an atmosphere of a small church, if I may say that, in the sense that the friendliness is there, the association is there, and I appreciate that so much. I want to just say how thankful I am to be able to be here, and my wife and our folks from Staten Island, we have come with a purpose, and it's almost completed. We certainly completed yesterday quite well by God's help, and it's a wonderful blessing. I feel so honored to come and to be asked to minister the word of the Lord. Pastor and Sister Grant are wonderful people, as you know. We've known them some years back and throughout the years. He's a hero to me in my thoughts, in the sense that he has persevered and been through some tremendous physical conditions and situations, and stayed the course. He's continually straightforward. My pastor, many years ago when I come to the church, one of his favorite comments to me in particular, and to others, but particular to me, and it stays in my mind to this day. He used to look at me and he'd say, he called me Bobby Carter at the time. I was much younger, of course. And he'd say, "Straight ahead, Bobby, straight ahead, straight ahead." And so often, Brother Grant, you know, as I think of your ministry and I think of your life and the great accomplishments that are happening, it's because you've gone straight ahead. Amen. Our theme in our church this year has been stay with the plan. Stay with the plan. And I really believe that's really where it's at. This coming September will be 39 years of marriage for us. And we thank God. Praise the Lord. And we're just so very, very happy to have our youngest daughter and our son-in-law with us, of course, and Brother and Sister Crevalone, who are our children, but have been placed down in Illinois for a while now. Came from Illinois and then have gone back, and but still very much a part of our heart and life. And, of course, Kyron and Diane Goring took the challenge and came. And it's just been great. You have beautiful weather here. I love Wisconsin in July. But from the weather reports, you can have the winter. Amen, amen. So we are blessed. We have been in Staten Island for a time, and God has blessed, and we are so thankful for all that He is doing in our lives there, and what yet will come. It's a privilege to be a child of God. Today is Independence Day, and I thought, wow. I told Travis, I said, are you sure you want to get married on the weekend like that? I said, do you realize you're getting married on Saturday and the fireworks starts the next day? Well, praise God. Let's hope it's all in the harbor. Amen. And but that's the way it works. And we are so honored and thankful to the Lord that He provided such a fine young lady as Anna. And we appreciate this church allowing and giving consent for that to also be extended. You know, saints of God have a lot of power. They really do have a lot of power. And we thank you for your consideration. Amen. In encouraging her and strengthening her in the decisions that she has made along life's way. And we're just looking forward to great things from this point on. I think her father said it very well the other evening, and it's an exciting time that we're living. Today we want to look in the Word of God, and before I do that, you know, one thing when you get older, you can't remember everything at one time. But I want to mention, Brother and Sister Thomas, their graciousness to us has been beyond words. We can't explain how gracious they have been. It's just been super and abundant. And Brother Grant, I thought of, and Brother Thomas, I thought of the scripture that said that an elder should be given to hospitality. And you fulfill that to the superb limit. You go beyond what most people would consider hospitality. You just burst open with abundance. Brother Thomas, he almost can read your mind. I told him I liked cherries somewhere along the line, and next thing I knew, I had more cherries than I could possibly eat. Somewhere along the line, I mentioned oatmeal raisin cookies, and man, have I got oatmeal raisin cookies, you know. And he has such a subtle way of just, while you're sitting there, just all of a sudden, those things start coming before you. You know, and I said, it's like he perceives my thoughts, and he brings them right there. Even before I stretch my hand out, they're there. They're there waiting for me, you know. And it's one thing it is difficult to do would be on a diet around Brother Thomas. He will feed you well. He will feed you well. Bless you. Thank you for your kindness to our lives. And I know that it is not something that you're just doing for us, but it is a ministry, and it is a gift in your life. And Sister Thomas, marvelous, marvelous. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, today is Independence Day, and I want to speak to you concerning that. Did you ever want a day like that in your life? Did you want a day that where you were just independent of obligations or independent of controls that seemed to be on your life? In 1776, our forefathers, which founded our nation, wanted this with all their heart. They had determined to not allow Great Britain the right to govern and demand taxation in benefiting from the newly found land and discovered land. So they got together and they put together a declaration. We know it as the Declaration of Independence. And they signed it on July 2nd. But we celebrated on July 4th. That's a trivia for you sometime. The Independence Act, the Declaration was actually signed on the 2nd. But it's been celebrated faithfully even then on July 4th. But these words were written when this declaration was signed. It read like this, to just a brief portion of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, it's one thing to want something. It's another thing to be willing to place your life on the line for it. We ask God for a lot of things as we go down life's journey. We ask Him for no pain. We ask Him for perfect conditions in our life. We ask Him for no rain when we're having a picnic. We ask Him for no snow when we need to go somewhere. And no floods, no earthquakes. We ask Him for all of these things. We ask Him for life like we really want it to be, you know. Of course, pleasing to Him, but especially to ourselves. And as we begin to listen to our prayers, sometimes we end up finding that we are asking so much about just because we want it our way. But Independence Day, I believe, has a greater understanding than just wanting it our way. What I found out as I began to really consider the Independence Declaration and the consideration of that day, and of course also our own, is not only do we want it because we want it, but we also understand that we are dependent as well as independent. We need to be dependent on God so that we can appreciate and understand how to be independent with God and with our fellow man and in the considerations of this world. I want to look with you from the scripture today in Luke chapter 15, looking at verse 11 down through 24. If you would allow me to read this, I want it my way in this portion of Scripture. And sometimes our way is not the best way at all. Verse 11 of chapter 15 in Luke, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants.' And as he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found.' And they began to be merry." I see the younger of the two sons in this setting that Jesus spoke of, this parable. In every parable that Jesus gave, it was an earthly story that was coming around with a heavenly meaning. Because Jesus didn't come just to tell stories. He came to relate an understanding to our hearts. And if the word that he spoke did not relate, he would choose another and another. And therefore, we have many stories about sheep and goats and fields and farmers and magistrates and all different kind of stories that Jesus talked about. But in this one, he talks about two sons. One desiring to be independent of his father's regulations and independent of someone saying, this is something that needs to be done and that's something that needs to be done. Here are your chores for the day. Here's your responsibilities on the farm. He said, you know, I've had enough of this. Just give me what's my portion and let me get out of here. I want to be independent. It's obvious his father loved him very dearly. For his father could have said, you can go, but your portion will be separated at the proper time, not now. But his father, loving him and caring, said, no problem. Meet me in the office this evening. We will separate the things. And so they did. He separated his portion, said, this is your portion. As of today, this is what you would have. If it was all turned over, your brother will have this, and you will have this, and you may do as you wish. So as we read the story, the young man was happy. It's always great to get things, especially the things that you want. And so feeling elated that his decision was apparently accepted by his father, he joyfully went with the goods that he was given, and he was Mr. Big in the community. He was big everywhere he went, for he had plenty of money. You know, when you have plenty of money, it's amazing how many friends you can have. Wow! Hey, let's go eat. I'm buying. Okay. Let's do this. I'm buying. All right. And they'll even catch a couple friends of their own. And the next thing you know, boy, everybody's locked arms. They're bosom friends. You couldn't ask for a happier time. Everybody's having a great time. And the waitress comes by and drops the check off. And he picks it up. No problem. Lays the money on the counter and everything is paid and everybody's just, where are we going to meet tomorrow? All right, where are we going to meet tomorrow? Yeah, where are we going to meet tomorrow? But the day came when he ran out. And I'm sure that I'm not talking to anyone here that hasn't experienced those kind of times. I don't know if you've ever been paid once a month, but that's an interesting adjustment. Once a month is an interesting adjustment when you've been used to being paid every week. But that once a month, that first day that you get paid, it is really not, really neat because you've got 30 days pay in one day. And wow, are you rich or what? Have you got money? Woo, I've got some money here. But you know what? If you go out to Macy's and JCPenney's and any of those stores, it wouldn't take long to take care of a month's pay in a hurry and not really be overloaded about bringing what you bought home. It can go very, very fast. But you know what? If you do that, they will be very happy that you've shopped at their store and you have paid for the goods, and they'll wish you well. Have a great day. Have a wonderful day. And you are. But believe me, you are not considering the other 29 or 30 days, whichever month you're in. Sometimes those 31-day months cannot be so pleasant when you're reaching for the first day of the month. But have a wonderful day, and that you will. But the next 29, what are you doing? Your money was spent on the first day. It's going to be a rough month. A rough month. And some of you understand just through no weakness of your own, just conditions of life, there are times certain things happen where it puts you in a stretch on that last week before payday again. And you say to yourself, well, this is a new adjustment and I have to stretch it a little bit more. But you have to act on the day that you get paid, just like it was a day on the last week of pay. And you have to learn those kind of things. Well, this young man obviously was very immature. There's obvious reasons that the story represents him as very immature. First of all, not waiting until a proper time to separate from his family and receive the goods that was his. And the Bible said he went out in riotous living. So he was just, you know, I want to show you what it's really like to have some money. But the day came when he had none and he had no friends either. Friends tend to disappear when you're not picking the tab up. Those kind of friends. So it was that he found someone that was a part of the country that he was in. On top of that, he went to a strange land. He couldn't even find any family friends. And it's not pleasant to meet up in a situation where you have no connection. The other night we stopped and asked some instructions from a gas station attendant, and I think the man probably had traveled through New York by his attitude. Surely wasn't Wisconsin attitude. And, you know, he showed us a map on the wall. He said, there's a map, look for yourself. And he grabbed a vacuum cleaner and continued to vacuum his little bit of 4x4 carpet there. Made such noise you couldn't think. And I told my son-in-law, I said, wow, he a happy camper. That fellow's a happy camper. And chances are all he knows how to do is go from his apartment to the job and back again. So I give him credit that he probably didn't know where he was at either. But nevertheless, it just gives you that kind of feeling like, you know, wow, I feel like I'm in New York sometimes, you know. But even New Yorkers are kind at times. It's amazing. Praise God. This man found a man that would at least take him in. He said, you know what? You can go feed the swine. The swine are down there. Feed them. And, well, what he gave him to feed them wasn't much either. But the young man came to his senses and he said, you know what? My dad's got everything he needs. His servants even live better than this. And perhaps I could even go back and at least be his servant. He was suddenly willing to give his independence up to do the right thing and to be supported. Now he wants to be dependent. And he's willing to be even just a servant in his father's house to be dependent. Because being a servant was better than being what he was. I want to tell you what. As far as I see in this story, I see the kingdom of God here where people have chose to leave the things of God and go out and live like the world lives. And God is so gracious because he has made us with a choice and an independence that we can make our choice. And he's watching everything. And he could stop, he could do all kind of things for us, but he is such a loving father that he knows that unless we get it, what he does for us will not mean anything anyway. Amen. There are some people that get up as though God owed it to them to raise the sun in the morning. That God owed it to them for them to be able to jump out of the bed. By the way, I've seen some beds that bring understanding to me. Back in Maryland, where I'm originally from, my folks used to have a saying, go run, jump in the bed, honey. That's what they tell us as children. They say, time for bed, go jump in the bed. And so that was a common expression, go jump in the bed. But lately I've seen how they've raised the beds up so high that's just about what you got to do, jump in the bed. And you better have a springboard at the bottom so you can get a start. Amen. He was willing to, you know, God is willing to allow us to see all those things and make our decisions. And through some of them, we will come to a realization, you know what? The things of God was better than the things of the world. We look out and we see, you know, all of these things. Who was it? The psalmist wrote, he said, when I looked and I saw how the wicked prospered, my feet almost slipped. I almost said, you know, that's the better way to go. But Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know what you have need of. I know what you have need of. And what he knows is that we need God in our life so that we can handle the things that will come along in our life, both good and bad. When I looked at the independence, the Declaration of Independence, I want you to know this nation was founded on the Word of God. It was founded by praying unto God. They did not say, you know what, we want to just be independent of those that are governing us and those that are pressuring us, Great Britain in particular, and we just want to get away from them. It wasn't just that. It was they prayed to God. George Washington, our founding father, prayed. Amen. People knew how to pray then. And they did pray, and they were not ashamed to pray. They were dependent on God to be independent in the things that God would provide for them. Now, it's true that there is a time and place to be independent. And it does us well to consider. As young people, pressures are on us sometimes to be independent of our parents. And there's nothing wrong with being independent of your parents if the time is right. But if it's not right, you better stay under that dependency. It's a great blessing to you. Our son, in particular, you know, he's waited a time to be married. But during that time, you know, he felt pressures to move out of the house and have his own place and all of this. And it was perfectly okay with us. That's fine. But I just had a little talk with him and simply told him, I said, you know, you can give $1,000 a month to someone so that you can be recognized by others that you're independent of the house. And if that's what you want to do to pay for that kind of consideration, you're welcome to. Or you can just abide here. You have your freedom. And you can save that money for the day that when you do move out and when you have a goal in mind, you'll have something to work with. And being a very wise son, he did stay. He did stay. Praise God. He has not showed me his account. I'm presuming he did put that $1,000 away. Being conservative and so forth. But and now Anna has that blessing as well. So it's wonderful. But there's a time to be independent of situations. And there's a time to always remember that no matter how independent we become, we must always be dependent upon God. It is God in whom we still trust. Amen. The money still says it, but I'm telling you what, they're making it more obscure all the time. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. It doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is that if my life doesn't depend on God, if the lives that we can affect for the Lord does not depend on God, then it doesn't matter what statements or letters or money or anything else says. But the understanding that I received from this was that he was wise in as much as he went back to the Father. And when he came back, the Father said, you know what? Put him back in position. Bless him. I don't believe that he was in the exact same position that he was in, of course, but he was still very blessed. He was not made a servant. He was still honored to be the son. And his Father was very, very happy and excited to have him back. If you have drifted away from God, there is no reason for you to stay away from God. He has loved you. He has loved you in as much as he has allowed you to drift because you wanted to. God lets us do what we want to. As much as if I were God and knowing what it means to be in God, it would almost be a temptation to command everyone and demand everyone to be right. But God, in his love, is that which loosens and allows you to react and act on your own. I'm glad to live in America where my wife was able to say, yes, I want to marry you. And I was able to say, I want to marry you. I didn't have to say, I got to marry you. And she had to say, yeah, I know, I got to marry you too. We'll figure out something down the years so when mom and dad are dead or something, you know. But the privilege was there, and I appreciated it so much. Our choices determine conditions of life. It determines what happens. Adam and Eve made a choice to disobey God and found themselves outside. It's difficult to be outside. It's much better to be on the inside. Cain, their first child, their first son, chose to offer his own kind of sacrifice to God. He said, I want it my way. And we see what happened to his life. He ends up murdering his brother. Nimrod was mentioned, and he was a great leader, but he led people of his day to build a tower that would reach to heaven against that which was directed by the consideration God gave to them. You know, if we could live our lives over again, we would all start immediately serving God, because we find once we begin to serve God how wonderful it is. I've heard people say those things all the time. As mankind exercises the right to independence, we see the living or the leaving God out of your decision causes great trouble in our lives and generations that follow. By the way, did you sweat today or did you sweat yesterday? Well, do you have any weeds in your lawn? You can thank Adam for that one. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for the sweat. Thanks for the weeds. Thanks for the difficulties that we're experiencing at times. Adam's decision affected the whole earth. We never, you know, it's just my decision. Leave me alone. It's just, there is no such thing as just my decision. We are not an island. We're alone. We are not separated. We're all connected. We're all connected. Everything we do affects somebody else. Knowing man the way Jesus does, he spoke these words, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. He didn't demand them to come. He didn't make it so they had no choice, but he said, come unto me. It is your choice, but I pray you would come unto me, and I will give you drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It affects everything. Living water affects everything. It makes that which is dead come alive. It makes life begin to prosper. We love to quote the scripture, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, not just those that are independent of everything, including God, but those that are dependent on God can begin to learn to live in the independence of his victory, the independence of his authority, the privilege to praise God at any time, the privilege to enter into the throne room of God, into God's presence. What an honor and what a wonderful experience it is. Man's independence can only be obtained by submitting to the Lord, taking Christ Jesus within you and allowing his truth to guide you. He whom the Son has set free. He whom the Son hath set free. When the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And you exercise the right and freedom to worship God at any time. To worship God at any time. How sad it is that some only think they can pray in church. Church is a wonderful place to pray, but we can pray anywhere. We can pray anywhere. I've been called on to pray in delis with people all around. I've been called on to pray at post offices with people all around. I was getting some stamps and I heard, Pastor Carter. I thought, oh, who is this? Oh, yes, that's a dear person that comes every once in a while. And they call me pastor. And it would be so wonderful to be their pastor. They don't understand what pastor is. To them, it's simply an entitlement. But it really is. It's a life of consideration and obedience and so forth. But nevertheless, they said, would you pray for me? And sure, I'll pray for you. Amen. Let's pray right now. And I prayed for the individual right now, and after I got done praying, there was another person that has come maybe two or three times and recognized me, and they came over and they wanted to talk with me. And so you never know what's happening or where it's happening, but you can pray at any time. I went to get a coffee once in a deli, and the man came out from behind the counter, came down and knelt in front of me and took my hand and plastered it on his head, and he said, "Pray for me, pray for me." I said, "What do you want prayer for?" And he said, I'm going back to my home country and I need prayer. So pray. Amen. Do you suppose that scripture that says pray without ceasing could have an effect in our lives, that we would be willing and ready to pray at any time? As saints of God, you're always on call. Amen. Today, right now, you can declare the day of independence from the controlling forces of your life. This world is a controlling force. It will direct our ways against God and away from God. But as we get near to Jesus, who is here right now, and if we will seek out his face and we will reach out to him, he said he's not far from any one of us. You have the right to life and to liberty and to pursuit of happiness. You have the right for that. Amen. This nation was founded with that right. But more than that, God's principles in his presence. There is fullness of joy. You can't get happier than that. Fullness of joy. There's not room for any more. That's how full it is. But that's in the Lord. When we repent of our sins and are baptized in his name, filled with his Holy Spirit, we begin to find a freedom that there is nothing like it. You want to talk about freedom? God places us on the highway of holiness. Joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. You can't even describe the joy that comes as you begin to walk with God. Amen. God's love to us is greater than anyone could ever explain. I read, I don't know if I have the paper with me or not. It just happens I don't. But when they wrote the Declaration, John Adams mentioned this. He said, he wrote to his wife, and he said, "This day will go on as a memorial in America in generations to come, that they should make this day a day of prayer, of dedication, and of celebration, and of all of the things." And he mentioned many of the things that we continue to do, fireworks and music and a great happy time. It was meant to be that way, but to honor the flag that represents the country that we live in, that has that independence. But I thought about that and I said, "Lord, what flag are we as saints of God? What flag are we flying? What flag does your soul wave today? Are you celebrating your independence from sin today? You should be." And the flag, the Christian flag, of course. Amen. Let's wave the Christian flag in our life until all people may see and know that God has done something in us. The scripture declares this to the saint of God. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Give us a voice to praise him. Amen. Can you say you're redeemed? If you can, praise God. If you can't, get redeemed today. Amen. Allow the blood of Jesus that has already been shed for us to be effective in your life. What does it take? It simply takes us opening our heart to him and saying, "Lord, I want you in my life. I want the independence that your presence brings, but I want to be dependent upon you always." God bless you today. Hallelujah. Pastor Grant.
Praise God. And would you stand, please? Hallelujah. Brother Carter has given you a lot to think about. There's no better day to give your life to the Lord than Independence Day. I remember when the Lord set me free. I remember it specifically because it was April 15th, which was tax day. That's when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it is so good to have lived for God these many, many years and served him, trusted him. My, what a great, great fellowship. But what a great God. Now, we always have people that are sick in their body and they need healing. So when we ask you to come forth, if you need a healing, come over here and stand on your left. If you have needs in your life and you've been praying about this and you'd like for someone to pray with you, just come and stand in front of the pulpit right here. If you want to renew your experience in God or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to be born again, come over here and stand on your right. Come on right now as our praise singers sing. Come on. Just come on down.